You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:22. It is Thursday morning, the 7th day of August of 2025. And every other Thursday, we are very happy to welcome into studio Nancy Stensel, the chairperson of the Marathon County Democratic Party. And Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. We're going to change the world today, right?
Oh, we already did the last 10
we
minutes.
We did,
but,
yes.
But there is really a lot going on. I wanted to start because we are hearing already a lot about the gubernatorial race for next year. Because obviously right now there's an open primary in both the Republican and Democratic sides. Well, at least it's open until Ron Johnson puts his finger on it. But that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah, right. That's a whole different story,
But there is also another state Supreme Court race. And
yes.
And the thing is, there was all this work, finally, to get over that line where there's a progressive majority and start to do some, I think, things for the people in some of these court cases. But there's another one, and there's a chance to further.
There's going to be another one every 2 years right. for a while.
Or every year.
Yeah.
I mean, not just every 2 years, every year. It's for most years. It's really an unusual system, but it is what it is. But we have one candidate that's, I think only
Chris
one.
Chris Taylor.
Is there anybody else?
So far there's Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor's the only official announced candidate.
And she was here in town the other day.
I wanted to ask you, because you did bring her to Wausau. She spoke at the Democratic Party headquarters. What did she talk about? What was the response? What is the feel about Chris Taylor within
People
your membership?
People were really excited to see her. She brings with her a good message of the progressive values. And, of course, we have Ann Walsh Bradley, who has just recently retired. Very well-deserved retirement. And, you know, we packed the room as usual. There's a lot of enthusiasm for her. She's already campaigning throughout the state. So, I mean, it wasn't just Wausau.
Right.
She's showing up in even smaller areas like Adams. She's going to be there yesterday or today. And people have, you know, a lot of questions. They come with excitement because of how big we won that race this last time. I should say we, because it is a nonpartisan race. But the people won the last time. And making it very clear what they want in their courts.
I wanted to ask you as well, because, again, I'm always curious. And one thing that we have to focus on is what the people are saying. And I know that you and the party were at the affair last week and talking to a lot of people.
A lot of people, a lot of good conversations.
What were the conversations? And not just from the hard base of the party. I imagine you had a chance to talk to others as well.
We did. We talked to everybody. And we have a lot of really cool games and stuff to lure them in. And maybe you got one of our nail files that said, you know, not as abrasive as Tom Tiffany. But it's people are worried. They're concerned. How they're going to raise their families. Just the uncertain economic times is probably the largest piece of it. They don't know what's going to happen. They feel like our government is extremely unsteady. And that seems to be the biggest thing.
Yeah, there is a lot of, I think there's nervousness even on folks on the right, because there's such,
There uncertainty.
Uncertainty is a word that I've mentioned to you that we're hearing about, and it's not good for anybody. And yet we have an administration that flails all the time.
Yeah, I mean, they're not listening. And I think that's another thing. People just feel they're not being listened to because, you know, we've talked to them and we've said, you know, please, you know, get involved. Whatever involvement looks like, talk to your neighbors. You know, there's the Five Calls app. You use that. I mean, they even script it for you to help you, whatever, call off time when you could just talk to an answering machine, whatever. For the most part, we had good conversations. There wasn't like a lot of what we've noticed in the past where, you know, people come by and heckle you or whatever.
Right.
There was, I would say, actually none of that. I did have one guy that came and he was talking about the air quality. And I said, yeah, I thought we were going to talk about the air quality. And he goes, well, he said, you know that's intentional, don't you?
That makes it so difficult.
I mean, I asked him to tell me more, and he couldn't.
But that's not just that issue. That's part of the election denials and everything else.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to fight against these conspiracy theories, and frankly, it'd be almost as easy to go the other way, especially with elections, because I think there's a lot to be concerned about. Where they use the idea that somehow 2020 was stolen. I don't trust a lot of the folks on the right, but you don't go around screaming that, oh, it was all conspiracy theory.
They have some facts to back up what you're going to.
But real fast, I'm curious about the fact that you did find maybe a little different than maybe even last summer.
Yeah.
Because last summer, of course, was the election year, and they were,
there was hype.
I got a sense that there's even some Republicans out there right now that can't be proud of what's going on.
We actually had a lot of people that stopped by. And, you know, and it's humbling. They'll come in and they'll say, well, you know, I really wanted to see change it. I thought he could bring it, and I voted for him. But I'm really sorry I
change.
Did. And now look. They feel like this responsibility of their actions, which
there is.
There is. But
I should be nicer, but there is.
No, you could point a finger and say, man, look what you did. But no, we can't change what happened. Let's just bring it forward. And
there's a difference between change and chaos.
Yes,
there is. You know,
and we're in chaos, terrible chaos.
And real fast, I thought him wandering on the roof of the White House the other day is such a microcosm of what his administration is, because he's a figurehead. Stephen Miller's running this government. He's off there wandering the roof of the White House talking about a $200 million ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have more with Nancy coming up in our next segment at 7:52. But back to a Pat Kreitlow coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Talking to Marathon County Democratic Party Chair Nancy Stensel. And very excited there to get a little national because at these events, it's not been just one time. It's been multiple times.
We have gotten multiple. We were, one week we were on Robert Hubbell's Substack, and we were like overjoyed that somebody's picking this up nationally. And then the other night, my phone literally blew up, and I'm like, oh, what happened? And I'm looking, oh, my God, saw you guys on Maddow. So, yeah, Rachel Maddow did pick up one of our Tom Tiffany protests.
Let me ask you, because, again, you're so busy, and the protests are continuing, and what's the feel on the ground? Because obviously,
people are angry. They're looking for more. And I think we need to take it further than just a protest, too. We need to hold our elected officials accountable.
And it's so hard to do that these days. We're just talking. I mean, Tom Tiffany and we were talking on this network yesterday had finally a town hall, but it was a virtual.
Yeah, I never heard about it.
I know. And as you were saying, I didn't even hear about it.
Many people never heard about it. And they're manufactured in that way.
And part of the, again, we talk about this a lot. Part of the system is that we, as a democracy, these folks, it is not their seat. It is not their
position. No.
Their
you are
position.
Representing
yes.
me.
And yet we have those that act like it's theirs.
Right.
They're not
they're
willing
pushing
to
their
answer
agenda.
The questions.
They don't want to know what the people think. And people from either side, they're ramming an agenda that they think. And you get into like the big, beautiful bill, and Tiffany and others are, they're bragging about it like it's something really great. And like, yes. Well, today, for instance, you take a look at your Social Security and the fact we have an aging population. We will be out in front of the Social Security building at noon today. Please come join us. Because Medicare and Social Security are another one. Tom Tiffany's helping to take all this away from you.
What I'm going to say as well when it comes to Social Security is I put a lot of the weight of this on the Democrats too. Because we have had in the past, I know that Bernie Sanders in the past had talked about, again, lifting the cap.
Yes.
Where is the Democratic leadership on that?
We need to get it going and do something and stop with the lip service. And that is true, both sides. Stop with the lip service. When you get into office, do something.
When is the last time the Democrats voted on that or put it out there as part of their agenda? I don't remember.
I don't remember it recently either. Honestly, I don't.
And I'm at an event like that is, it's not just to say, Tom Tiffany, you're terrible, but at the same time, hey, Democrats.
It's to bring about awareness that this is happening and something needs to be done.
And they need to realize, and I said this to you earlier, and as we go into the next year, and again, it's hard to believe we're in August already of this year.
Yeah.
That there has to be a certain boldness.
There has to be.
For the Democratic Party.
And as a Democratic Party, we're always very concerned about factual information, telling the truth, and I know they never do. It is important that we tell
it
the
is.
Truth.
It is.
But we need to say it loud and clear.
But also policy. And again, and one of the frustrating aspects of this New York City race is the number of Democrats who are pushing back against Mandami and some of his proposals,
his proposals are to help the people.
And I think that a boldness, because if you start, again, you know, in any negotiation, and we can talk about here in Wisconsin in the summer with the budget, if you start at a certain area, naturally, you move. But if you start with a bold vision, then you got more room to maneuver
and
to make the ultimate final solution a much better one than it was. Because, I'm going to ask you here real quickly that, you know, you said off the air that you were a little put off by a celebratory tone with the governor.
Right. I don't think it should be a celebration. I fully support Governor Evers, and I realize there is a world of compromise, but we really did lose a lot in that. Yes, we made a stride in this or we made a stride in that, but instead of actually celebrating, oh boy, we got a budget, we passed a budget, I think it needs to, where you get up there and you say, yes, we passed a budget, this is why we didn't get this and we didn't get this. Call it out. Don't celebrate and say, well, at least, you know, we got a few breadcrumbs. I'm really excited.
And the idea, the word that's often used is we got to celebrate bipartisanship. Well, sometimes you don't have to celebrate bipartisanship.
No, you need, along with telling the truth, tell the truth of why. Why we're not having money for our public schools. Why stuff is having to go to referendum. You need to say it a whole lot louder than what we are.
And I'm not saying that bipartisanship is bad.
No, not at all.
No
one side should ever get their way.
But if you surrender and then call it bipartisanship, that would be a bad thing. So.
like we did it's what matters to the people, what helps the people. And the oligarchy tour was here a couple days ago. And, you know, we sat on a whiteboard and they listed what was important here. Transit was major. People are worried about affordable housing. People are worried about food on the table. These are the things we need to be fighting
for. And as we go forward, I think that is vital to have the issues at the forefront.
It's a basic hierarchy. You can't afford a place to live and you can't afford to eat.
But so often,
not much else is going to matter.
Are instead of the show, and I just think there's too much of the show when it comes to politics.
Yeah, we don't need the show.
No, we do not. What's happening? What do people need to know here coming up?
We have the Social Security protest today. I should call it a rally to bring about awareness of this.
Because
lift the cap.
Yes.
And that's going to be at noon today in front of the Social Security building on Grand Avenue. Tomorrow, the entire month of August, every Friday is going to be flood the office. There will be prizes for best costumes and signs and the like, and we will be in front of Tom Tiffany's office noon to 1 every Friday this month on Stewart Avenue.
Be nice if he showed up once in a while, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, come out there and turn the sprinkler on yourself, for God's sakes. Come get wet with
Come
us.
Out in his rain slicker. There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, yeah. Come out and show the public when it hits you, you're going to be washed up, honey.
Thank you, Nancy. And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Thanks to Nancy Stensel for joining us this morning. And Ian, and that is Ian Welsh across the way. Again, good morning to you, Jeff. And after talking to Nancy for the last two segments, I got a few ideas, and I want to share with the listeners, share with you, maybe get your thoughts as well, as we go into 2026. When you look at where the Democratic Party is, and I think that the Democratic Party is got its issues along with the Republican Party led by Donald Trump. But you look at some of the national polling when it comes to the Democrats, its approval rating is underwater, and I can see some reasons why. I think some of the leadership has not been as bold as it needs to be in this era, that we can't just sit back and say, well, Donald Trump will destroy himself, or in the state of Wisconsin that Governor Evers is more popular than Robin Voss. I think as we go into 2026, as we go into potentially an opportunity for Democrats in the state of Wisconsin to perhaps get majorities in the state assembly and the state senate, as we go into a national landscape where you have a very, I would say, unpopular president at this point, and unless he pivots in some way, which I doubt he will do, that he will continue to be unpopular into 2026. There could be an opportunity for the Democrats to try to regain control of the United States Congress and the United States Senate, but you can't do that being milquetoast. We have to see a Democratic Party that is willing to stand on real issues. And off the air, as we were saying goodbye to Nancy, I said it during the on the air segment as well, that at this point the Democrats have to be bold, and they also have to talk about the issues that affect the everyday lives of Americans, Wisconsinites, Marathon Countyites. Absolutely. And those are the bread and butter issues. The talk about rent, talk about affordability in housing, talk about affordability when you go to the supermarket.
Affordability with health care.
Yes. Child care. Again.
Affordability for schools.
And the idea that Democrats come out talking first about abortion rights or talk about other, what we call them, social issues. I am under the assumption that if you're somebody that is a Democrat, that you will be in favor of access to health care for women and other types of issues like that, that there are not votes to be had there. But the thing that could get people thinking, perhaps that are either independents or right-leaning independents or even conservatives, are the issues of the pocketbook, the issues of dollars and cents.
Exactly.
And I think that in recent years, more than a few years, but recent years, the Republican Party has really put their arms around the wealthiest of our society. That their entire economic platform is about making the rich richer, making sure that the business owner gets richer while squeezing the average worker, the average person in our country that is trying to make a living, be able to pay their bills, be able to raise a family, be able to buy a house. But the Republican Party is not receiving any
pushback on it because Democrats need to talk about, again, middle class, lower middle class.
The everyday middle class citizens who work jobs, who have houses, who take care of their families, support their schools and the arts as well. Just the Republicans can't stick with the fact that we're going to give these tax cuts to the rich and hope the trickle-down effect is going to, a drizzle down into the middle class people, because that is not an effective method. I'm sorry. All right, but
there
the trickle-down effect really worked, the middle class would have a lot more money right now, but we don't. We have less money.
There have been studies done since the advent of supply-side economics, trickle-down economics, with the Reagan administration in the early 80s over about four decades plus. It is not trickle-down. It has not gone from the richest to the poorest to lift them up. It's just been going straight to the richest people. But the problem is, again, that Democrats need to reach out to these folks who may have voted for Donald Trump because they feel their lives are slipping away and feeling like nobody has the right answers.
Yeah.
You have to be bold. You have to be able to go into those areas and explain in a very real way why these policies would help lift many millions of people in their everyday lives. And frankly, Democrats have not done that well enough. I think that there are plenty of examples during the previous administration where Democrats did pass policies that did help the most people. But you have to also have a communications aspect to it that allows folks to realize it as well. So again, just hoping that the unpopularity of some of the policies being shown by Donald Trump and the Republicans going into next year, I don't think will be enough for Democrats to win.
Yeah, we can't wait for Trump to destroy himself. We have to stop him before he destroys himself and the country with it, because I think, and I could be wrong here, but I would argue the point that if he goes down, he's taking the country with us.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And when you see folks like Chuck Schumer and other leaders nationally in the Democratic Party not seem to realize that in actionable ways, that becomes very, very frustrating.
It's really sad.
It really is. The time is 8:29. Going to try to stay undefeated with your number for the day quiz coming up in our final segment.
Yeah, the pressure's really on.
Information update coming up, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Overcast skies here in downtown Wausau, temperature around 70 degrees. Hopefully your Thursday is off to a terrific start. Coming up tomorrow during our local segments, we'll be talking to Christine Daniels as we do the first week of every month from the Good News Project. She'll be with us in the first hour of the program. And we are also planning, hoping to have a return, because in the past, back a while back, it's been quite a while, actually, we used to have a guy named Paul Micklig join us on Fridays talking sports, and the plan is to have him back as we are have a lot of excitement going on in the world of sports because the Milwaukee Brewers continue to be very, very successful. The Packers have their preseason game coming up against the New York Jets on Saturday. And college football will be getting underway. And, of course, he has started practice as the head football coach at Newman Catholic. So the plan is for Paul Miklik to be with us in the second hour of the program as well. So bring him back for Fridays with Miklik, and hopefully that will work out, and we'll be able to talk a little bit of sports tomorrow as well.
Very good.
Meantime, there's actually a story I wanted to mention that is a sports story, but also I would call it a DEI story because – I think that, opportunity is vitally important, and I don't think having a little bit of diversity within certain jobs is a bad thing if the person has done everything they needed to do to earn that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing that in Major League Baseball coming up starting on Saturday, because there has never been a female umpire in Major League Baseball. Never in all the years of Major League Baseball, going back to 1876 with the start of the National League. Well, genuine history will be happening on Saturday. Major League Baseball will have its first regular season game umpired by a woman. Her name is Jen Powell, and she will be called up to work this weekend series between the Marlins of Miami and Atlanta. She will work both ends of Saturday's doubleheader and the Sunday series finale. And she has done the work. The 48-year-old Powell has began umpiring in affiliated baseball in 2016 in rookie ball.
Nice.
She reached AAA 2 years ago. Last year, she became the first female ump to work a spring training game in 17 years. She was named a AAA crew chief last year as well, which put her on the call-up list. And prior to her baseball umpiring career, she had umpired NCAA softball from 2010 to 2016. She was invited to the Umpire Training Academy after attending an MLB tryout camp in August of 2015. And before any of that, she played softball at Hofstra University.
Very cool.
So,
well, congratulations to her.
Absolutely right. And it brings me back to the whole idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion. It drives people on the right crazy, but they talk about having, you know, basically it all being based on merit, when at the same time you see the sons of famous people get jobs as vice presidents of their baseball team or
nepotism, right?
Nepotism. This is a case of a woman doing everything right. And you know there's still going to be some folks out there, oh, it's all about DEI. It's all about, you know, just wanting to have a... No.
She has the experience. She put in the effort. Yes. She deserves this.
And also, giving opportunities is not wrong.
No, it is not.
It is not wrong. And I think this is another example of where having some diversity is something that's a good thing for baseball. And it's a good thing for little girls who may have a dream of being involved in baseball in some way.
To see role models like this.
Exactly.
It's very important because it shows them that if they want to do this and they put in the work and the time, they can make this happen.
You're exactly right. So congratulations. I think it's good for baseball. I think it's good for America itself as well. So there you go.
I think we need more stories like that.
Yep, we do. Something else that's good is the way you started off this week with the number for the day quiz.
Yes.
And you have been red hot. You're 3 for 3.
Ooh.
You've already earned a passing grade. You've already earned a winning week. Now we're going to try for an A grade and still have that perfect week out there.
Oh,
so
pressure's on.
All right. Our number for the day is a little bit of a goofy number today.
I'm okay with goofy.
Today's number for the day is the number of American men who injure themselves with kitchen gear every year.
Kitchen gear.
So American men who injure themselves with kitchen gear. So they're cooking.
Every year?
Or just, average number here of American men who injure themselves.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready. What are my choices?
17,392. 27,392. 37,392.
Those are some big numbers.
Yep. Yeah. Well, a lot of guys cook, and they, work in the kitchen. So
a little over 17,000. 27,000 or 37,000?
Yep. 17,392, 27,392, 37,392.
Okay, I'm just going to go with my gut here, and I'm going to say final answer. I'm going to say a little over 27,000. Going with a little over 27,000, my final answer.
Number of American men who injure themselves with kitchen gear every year is 17,392.
Oh, the smallest number.
Yep.
I took a shot.
3 out of 4, so still a chance for an A grade tomorrow.
I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, have a great rest of your Thursday.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
And we'll be back tomorrow. And coming up next is Matt and Air on Air on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.